Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, which is really the western frontiers of western civilization during the slow but steady breakdown of the western world. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me today. And we are going to take a look at pop culture today because pop culture tends to be the major influence in kids' lives. It's not the schools, it's not the universities, and certainly it isn't the politics. Ultimately, it's not the president of the United States that's all that influential in the average life of the average person. No way, no way, no way. What is it that directs the zeitgeist today in the minds and the hearts and the souls of the masses? It is Hollywood and Nashville. My friends, just understand that it's pop culture that will direct the voting habits of those that will vote in the year 2028. There's a reason why 52% of millennial evangelicals are going pro-homosexual and embrace Obergefell and the Supreme Court decision that approved of homosexual marriage in the United States. 52% of evangelical millennials now embrace homosexual marriage and the neuronic agenda up against the Christian faith, which used to oppose Nero. Friends, there's a reason why 52% of millennial evangelicals are going for it. It's because they tune in to Lady Gaga. It's because they watch movies. It's because they watch television. Don't kid yourself. It's not the politicians. It's not the Supreme Court of the United States. They're virtually irrelevant compared to the massive influence of Hollywood. Now, the Bible tells us not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we don't come into close contact with them. We don't embrace the ideas and the heart of those that produce the movies and the music that oppose God. So we don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we rather reprove them. Now, we also want to be sure that we are properly interacting with the zeitgeist and reproving the zeitgeist, and that's why this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Well, Television 2018 involves teenage girls plunging into suicide and Satanism. These are the latest for the most popular Netflix programs produced this year. You know, it was vampirism about 10 years ago. Now Netflix is leading the girls towards more suicide and Satanism. The 13-year-old girls are wrapping their hearts around Sabrina, a witch, and Fox News refers to this as well. Chilling adventures of Sabrina involve the underage orgy scene and marks a troubling trend, critics say. Now, of course, pagan religions have always brought together demon worship with sexual chaos. That's all part of the gig. But now this agenda is being presented to the 13-year-old girls. And Family Research Council senior fellow Peter Sprigg told Fox News Sabrina is not suitable for its target audience, apparently largely because of this orgy scene. And I don't know what was involved there, but apparently it was really bad.
And this is targeted at 13-year-olds who are trying to determine their identity, who are trying to solidify their place in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're being fed this garbage that this is reality, when in fact it is not reality. And the appeal of the occult is that it offers power. It offers the idea that you can control things, that you can be in control, and that is the seductive nature of it. And to present this to those who are being molded at that time in their life is reprehensible.
Yeah. Well, it's the appearance of control. The demons like to give you the impression that you've got control, but as it turns out, even the demons don't have that much control. It's ultimately God who is sovereign over the demon world and everything else. But that is not part of the worldview of the demonic world that produces programs like this. Well, this is the Family Research Council's senior fellow Peter Spriggs interaction with the program, with Fox News, taking once wholesome comic book characters and turning them into sinister and hypersexualized TV characters is a troubling trend in itself. The dark, occultish elements of Chilling Adventures in Sabrina provide reason enough for parents to keep their children, including teens, far away from the show. The show has gone over the top in depicting an actual orgy on screen. This content is not appropriate for anyone, but especially not for the teen audience it targets. And it turns out, I didn't realize this, but the Sabrina character originated in 1962 as part of the Little Archie comics. And in fact, apparently, Sabrina the Cute Little Witch was in almost all of the Little Archie comics as early as the 1960s. In 1996, Sabrina the Teenage Witch television series came out. And now we have the orgies and the satanic worship services throughout the whole gig produced by Netflix. It's the same old Pied Piper of Hamelin thing. Bill, you remember How to Train Your Dragon eventually introduced the homosexual mentor, and Harry Potter's mentor Dumbledore turned out to be homosexual and so forth. And we expect that. We expect that. We expect that with Disney. We expect that Disney Beauty and the Beast is going to introduce a homosexual scene. We expect that. But only after 45 to 50 years of endearment. We have to begin with endearment. And then we move the children towards perversion. This is the way it goes with a Pied Piper from Hamelin. I hope people get this message straight, because this is what the Pied Piper has been doing for a very long time. Well, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and Riverdale are hardly the first two shows to sexualize teens, says Gossip Girl, Freeform's Pretty Little Liars, a variety of MTV programs are recent examples, etc., etc., etc. Well, we'll come back in just a moment, because 2018 has been declared the year of the witch in television. Witchcraft is big now in television in the year 2018 AD. Be back in just a moment. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack in studio with me as we review the television fair for 13-year-old kids, specifically 13-year-old girls, and it seems to be moving in the direction of suicide and Satanism in the year 2018. Slashfilm.com, referring to this Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, calls 2018 the year of the witch in television. The popularity of witches in our culture waxes and wanes, but 2018 has been a year of occult obsession around fierce females. Witches are marginalized people who call upon the magic of the sacred feminine to stand up against the patriarchy and the traditional Judeo-Christian moral values. So that's, I would say, a fairly honest, self-consciously, epistemologically consistent approach to these programs. I mean, these guys know what they're talking about. They say, this is about feminism. This is about opposing Judeo-Christian moral values. And this is more and more the zeitgeist of the average female, at least those who are appreciating this offering from Netflix. Also, Collider.com, wrote on the show, this is a show in which even the designated good guys participate in, or at the very least condone, things like cannibalism, blood sacrifice, and selling one's soul to Satan. Again, speaking of Sabrina. Many of Madame Satan's transgressions aren't necessarily any worse than those we see from Zelda, Prudence, or Sabrina committing. And that is some of the protagonists, the good guys, so to speak. So Madame Satan is pretty much doing the same stuff that the protagonists are doing in the film. She's stridently feminist. That is, Madame Satan is stridently feminist, unapologetically about taking up space in the world, and a full-on combatant of the patriarchy at pretty much every level. Quote, this is a quote from Madame Satan. Women should be in charge of everything. And it certainly doesn't seem like she's kidding about that. Sabrina herself has a familiar spirit named Salem. And NPR, commenting on this offering for 13-year-old girls, NPR said, let's be clear, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina isn't merely steeped in the occult, it's drowning in it.
Wow.
That's NPR. And now the Satanic Temple in America is also suing Sabrina for using their imagery on the TV series. So
yeah,
it's interesting. But this is the kind of thing that is apparently capturing the attention of the post-Christian world. And it doesn't surprise me all that much, Bill, that the world is moving more towards Satanism all the time. Let me read a little bit about the connection between feminism and Satanism. This connection has always been fairly strong. In fact, the first wave of feminism was saturated in witchcraft. You know, a lot of Christians are enthralled with the first wave of feminism. They say, well, at least the first wave of feminism was good. But it turns out, no, it was rotten to the core. I mean, it was rotten to the core. Listen to this. The 19th century feminists were adamant in their espousing of free love and spiritualism. In 1872, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who, as you know, is very important in the first wave of feminism, Stanton requested that a spiritualist named Victoria Woodhull conjure the dead spirits of Elizabeth Barrett Browning and others for their feminist meetings. That is, there was much conjuring going on in these meetings. Woodhull was a worker of miracles, a spiritualist, a fortune teller, and a prostitute. She was most famous for her speech at Steinway Hall on November 20th, 1871. Before 3,000 Americans, Woodhull tore a white rose from her dress and screamed out, "I'm a free lover. I have an inalienable constitutional natural right to love whom I may, to love for as long or as short a period as I can, to change that love every day if I please." It was now, Bill, in 1871, for somebody to be able to break out of the boundaries that have been set upon, you know, sexual mores over the last 1,500 years of Christianity was difficult to do. You needed a prostitute, and you needed somebody who was influenced strongly by Satan to be able to lead this free love approach that came out of feminism in the 1870s. The National Women's Suffrage Association appreciated Woodhull's spiritualism and her free sex advocacy so much that the organization supported her as the first woman candidate for president in 1872.
Seriously.
That's absolutely right. Yes. And you'll get it in American God's Providence. I'm just reading from the textbook I would recommend for every Christian family who lives in America or in the Western world to better understand the ideas that that made and then broke America as a society. So interesting. Well, at the end of the day, friends, 1 Samuel 15:23, I think, said it exactly right. 1 Samuel 15:23 said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we certainly see that with the first wave of feminists.
And you're right. I mean, the occult and sexual perversion go hand in glove when you see what happens throughout history.
And rebellion. Interesting. The same woman who's this feminazi, you know, Victoria Woodhull, she is massively rebellious against God's order of husband and wife submitting to her husband in the Lord. She's massively against that, which is characteristic of the first wave of feminism. And she's demonic, and she is a prostitute calling out for free love in 1870, meaning that you could commit adultery, you could commit fornication, and you could commit lesbian sexual perversions or whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. In 1871, probably one of the most famous speeches in all of history, was produced at that point, and that was the beginning of the movement towards free love, which eventually kicked in by the 1960s. So if you think about it, Bill, it took 90 years to get all these demons out of Pandora's box to eventually destroy sexuality in the Western world. But it began as early as 1871 with Victoria Woodhull, a prostitute, a spiritualist, and a candidate for president of the United States. Friends, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff here. Turns out the scriptures were right when the scriptures said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. There's also, I think, Bill, something of a smearing of the difference between good and evil. And that's, this guy points out that there's something good about Madame Satan in this television series. And I think we have to be cautious with this. I think we have to bring God's word to bear and draw that line between what is good and what is evil. And you get this with witchcraft. You tend to get it with Harry Potter. You get it with those who have a hard time defining witchcraft.
Remember, well, even go back to the Wizard of Oz. You had Glinda the Good Witch.
Yeah.
And you had then the Bad Witch. So there's always been this idea that there is white magic and black magic. There are good witches and bad witches. And we have to be aware that that's prohibited by Scripture.
Yes. And remember all the Christian apologists who are rushing in to endorse Harry Potter and the focus on the occult and the glorification of homosexuality. You know, there were so many Christians who had a hard time applying the law of God when it came down to the sin of witchcraft. They didn't understand the idea that power is accessible outside of the sovereign rule of Christ is really witchcraft. That itself is witchcraft. And popular culture seems to be getting worse and worse. As you see the trends, Bill, I don't remember Satanism, human sacrifice, and cannibalism being glorified as it is today for 13-year-old girls in the 1990s. It does seem like we are a couple of miles down the stream towards Niagara Falls as the zeitgeist continues to move. Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Should Christians engage the culture? Should we be watching this stuff? What do you think, Bill?
No, we should not. And because we are to apply Philippians 4, you know, whatever is good and mm-hmm. true and mm-hmm. lovely and pure. Those are the things that we should encourage young girls to consider, because as they think, so they will become.
Ideas have consequences. As your teen watches all this witchcraft, you find after a while they want to dress in black. Their facial expressions appear dark, dark, dark. And you say, why are they looking the way they're looking? Why are they so depressed all the time? Why is their countenance so dark? Could it be that they watch this stuff? Could it be that having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness results in them acting out the unfruitful works of darkness? They don't dress in resurrection colors? Well, that's because the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We want our children to know about Jesus. Let's tell them about Jesus first, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That when you look at them, you say, wow, their facial expressions seem to indicate the resurrection and the life of Christ. Jesus came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And these TV programs are geared to keep the youth in increasing levels of bondage and increasing levels of darkness. Make no mistake about it, my friends. Ideas have consequences. But you know, Bill, we don't want to be just cursing the darkness. Let's light candles. And what we're going to do as part of the Generations offerings for Christmas time 2018 is to present some really excellent videos. And there are good videos out there. We've got one called Polycarp, one called a series of parables, the reenactment of Jesus's parables in a modern setting. They're amazing. They're almost perfectly done in terms of the acting and the presentation. Fantastic. We're going to be presenting these through Christmas time. And Mully is a great story. It's a documentary, but it is a riveting documentary.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before on the show.
And a Kenyan indigenous African Kenyan who establishes an orphanage in Kenya and brings about a massive transformation of lives. And he brings a farm. He builds the orphanage. He does it without reliance on Western monies. And it's just an amazing story of a man who was a successful businessman and then gave it all up to support the orphans in Kenya. An amazing story. And then there's Dispatches from the Front, a series of videos I would recommend for our families. Powerful in stories of how Jesus is doing incredible work on the very frontiers of the mission work in various areas around the world. And these Dispatches from the Front really engage the story of what Jesus is doing through the indigenous workers around the world. And we're talking about Africans, we're talking about Indians, we're talking about Chinese and others that are bringing the kingdom of Jesus and the church of Jesus into the darkest regions of this world's territories. I take the example of a group of Christian Africans out in Liberia who set their sights on a mountain in which satanic worship had continued for hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, the Liberian government was hesitant to ever go there because of the powerful spiritual forces that dominated this little village at the top of this mountain. Well, this group of Christian workers prayed over it for about a year, and then they mounted the mountain and they brought the gospel, and the gospel had a tremendous transforming effect upon this area that had been controlled by Satan himself over a period of hundreds of years. And then you see the tremendous results in the churches planted and the interviews with some of the people who had been delivered from the power of Satan into the kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ. So again, these are powerful videos of what Jesus is doing around the world. They're called Dispatches from the Front.
They're like 10 episodes so far.
So far. They're doing another series as well. So these are the videos that we have shown our children. They are inspiring. They are powerful. They give our children a sense of what Christ is doing around the world right now. And we need to continue to chronicle the works of Christ and the amazing redemption that he's bringing to this world. And that's a tremendous contrast with the works of darkness and the entertainment that is produced by the satanic production agencies coming out of Hollywood, Netflix, and elsewhere. So, Bill, I think, you know, we as Christians need to light a candle. Let's not curse the darkness. Let's look at giving our children resources that will excite them and train them to realize
and inspire
what Jesus
them.
Is doing. Yes, absolutely. To maybe engage the kingdom themselves according to the calling that God brings to them. So anyway, friends, I'd recommend to you Polycarp, the reenactment of the great martyr Polycarp in the second century of the church, and also this series of parables and Mully, as well as Dispatches from the Front. And these will be available at our website, generations.org. The second thing we should say, Bill, is that the church has an obligation to equip the families in our churches to rightly discern and to rightly bring down imaginations in every high thing that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God in Christ. And that's one reason for my book, Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. But the church needs to bring this to the youth. We need to equip our youth to cast down imaginations, to discern between that which is good and that which is evil, and to analyze films on the epistemological level, the metaphysical level, the ethical level, the cultural level. They need to be able to cast down these imaginations.
Yeah. Movies are the most powerful teaching tools in the culture. They train us to see the world differently. They, as I've often said, it's like going to a film is much like going to the optometrist. You get fitted with a set of glasses through which you view reality. And that's the benefit and the detriment of the technology called film. And we need to be very aware of that as Christians, and then we need to harness that for the power to spread the power of the gospel. And you see that with Dispatches from the Front. So you're right. You know, it doesn't mean that you shun the technology. It means that you are discerning and that you view it through a biblical filter.
So as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, I encourage you to grab a copy of The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, in which we train young people to analyze the music and the movies that they ingest. And if they don't have that discerning spirit, certainly they should not be interacting with any of the movies or the music of the day. So be sure that they have been equipped in the area of discerning these things. The Tattooed Jesus, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.